Well, today I want to begin by sharing a story I read about a truck driver that was hauling a load of penguins to the zoo. Unfortunately, his truck broke down, and he eventually waved down another truck driver, and he offered the truck driver $500 to take his penguins to the zoo. Well, the next day, the first driver got his truck fixed, and he was driving into town, and he could not believe his eyes. Just ahead, he saw the truck driver that he had hired to take his penguins to the zoo crossing the street with 500 penguins waddling single file behind him. And he jumped out of his truck and he said, "Dude, what are you doing? I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo." And the man responded, "I did take them to the zoo, but we had extra money after that, and so we're going to the movies." Obviously, he didn't understand the assignment. Likewise, many believers are a little bit fuzzy about what their assignment is in life. And so today, by the grace of God, as a Christ follower, you're going to leave here knowing what your mission in life truly is. I pray that your eyes will be opened, and that as mine have, they will be opened afresh as to what followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to be doing. It's not mission impossible, but it is your assignment should you choose to accept it. Mark wrote in Mark chapter 10 and verse 42 that Jesus had called the disciples to himself, and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles," listen to this, "lord it over them. Lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet," Jesus said to his disciples, "it shall not be so among you. For whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Friend, I don't have to tell you that the world we live in teaches you to get the most out of life for yourself. But that is not the reason that God created you. The reason God created you is for something far, far greater. You see, you were created to add life to the world that you live in. You were created to make a contribution. You were created to make a difference with your life. God wants you to give something back. And the Bible calls this service. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I shared Romans 12, verse 1 with you, where the Bible pleads with us as believers to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and catch this, which is your reasonable service. You see, the Bible teaches us that you and I, as believers in Christ, were created to serve God. You were created to serve God. In Paul's letter to the Ephesian believers, we're told that we're to be doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, get this, doing service unto the Lord. See, whenever you serve others in any way, you're actually serving God. Conversely, if you're not serving other people with the life that you're living, you're probably not serving God either. And this is part of why you were created. It's that important. You were created to serve God. It's your assignment, should you choose to accept it. But not only were you created to serve God, you are also saved to serve God. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "It is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, his own grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus even before time began." You see, God saved you so that you would do his holy work. You're not saved by service, but you are certainly saved for service. So you and I must learn that in God's kingdom, you and I have a very important place. You and I have a very important purpose. We have a role. We have a function to fulfill. We don't just exist and wait on heaven. After all, it cost Jesus his own life to save me from hell. 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says that I was bought at a price. Therefore, I should glorify God with my body and my soul. That's service. Glorifying God with my body and soul. So we don't serve God out of fear. We don't serve God out of guilt. We don't serve God even from duty. We serve God out of joy, out of a deep-seated gratitude, not for what he's going to do, but for what he's already done in our lives. You see, you and I owe him our lives. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, listen to this, which are God's. You ain't your own. You are God's possession. The Apostle John put it this way. He taught us that loving service shows other people, especially lost people, shows other people that we're truly saved. He said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers." How many of you know that if you don't have any love for others, the chances of you serving others is very slim? Amen. And if I'm only concerned about my own needs, then I really should be concerned about my relationship with Jesus. Because a saved heart is a heart that wants to serve others in Jesus' name. Now, an often misunderstood word for serving God is the word ministry. How many of you have heard the word ministry? We've all heard it. When people hear the word ministry, they almost always immediately think of pastors and preachers and teachers and church workers, whatever. But God says that every member of the family is a minister. Every one of us are ministers. In the Bible, the words servant and minister are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. And so if you are a Christian, a believer on Jesus Christ for your salvation, then guess what else you are? You're a minister. If you're serving other people, guess what you're doing? You're ministering. Amen. And every one of us are called to do that. Think of Peter's sick mother-in-law who was healed by the Lord Jesus. After she was healed, she instantly stood up and began to serve him. What was she serving him with? Her new gift of health. that Jesus had afforded her. This is exactly what you and I are called to do. To serve him with what we've already received. You see, we're healed to help others. We've been given a blessing in order that we might bless others. Amen. We're saved, not for ourselves necessarily, but to serve others. We don't just sit around and wait for Jesus to come get us. We don't sit around and wait for our lives on earth to end. We don't just sit around and wait for heaven. No, he's called us, he created us, and he saved us to serve others. And I want to tell you this morning, very clearly, that God has a ministry for you here. That God has a mission for you in the world that we live in. So never forget that not only were you created to serve God, you were actually saved by the blood of Jesus so that you might serve God Almighty. But you're also called to serve God. When you were growing up, I'll bet that most of you thought that being called was reserved for people like missionaries and pastors and maybe nuns, right? But the Bible often says that every single Christian is called to serve. You can't escape it because every one of us is called to serve. Paul told those Ephesian believers that we are all one body, we all have the same spirit, and we've all been called to the same glorious future. Hallelujah. You see, our call to be saved included a call to serve. They're one and the same. You cannot separate salvation from service. Because if you're saved, you're going to serve. It's just that simple. So regardless of your job or career, regardless of whether you're 6 or 60, regardless of whether you're healthy or wealthy, puny or poor, whether you're a genius or not so much, amen, you as a Christian have been called to full-time Christian service. It's just that simple. Can I tell you that there is no such thing as a non-serving Christian? No such thing. You're to use what Christ has already given you. The Bible says that he saved us and he called us to be his own people, not because of what we've done, but because of his own purpose. Saved, created, and called. You see, friend, any time that you use your God-given abilities for someone else, you are fulfilling your calling. Your calling to serve God. And one translation of Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 says this: now you belong to him. You belong to him in order that you might be useful in the kingdom of God. Being that you belong to him, now you ought to become useful in the kingdom of God. My question to you this morning is this: how much time are you spending being useful in the kingdom of God, in the service of Almighty God? You know, you wouldn't think it, but there are a few Christian churches in China. And in those new churches, whenever they welcome new believers into their midst, here's what they say: Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with. Jesus now has a new pair of ears to hear with, to listen with. Jesus now has two new hands to serve with. Jesus now has a new heart through which he can love other people. Service. Can I tell you that serving God is one great reason to be connected to a church family? Because in a church family, not only do you get equipped to serve, armed to serve, prepared to serve, you're also provided a place where you can serve in practical ways. You can actually practice serving. Amen? So that's why we are involved, partially why we're involved in a wonderful church family like this one. The Bible says it this way: you all together are Christ's body. Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Each of us has a role in the family, a very important role in the family. There is no such thing as small service in the service of God or in the family of God. Think of it this way. The most important light in your house is not that beautiful chandelier in your dining room. The most important light in your house is that little night light that keeps you from smashing your toe into the dresser when you get up to go to the bathroom. Am I right? Every ministry matters. Every ministry is important. Why? Because we are utterly dependent upon one another to make this church function properly. Think of it this way. What happens if your knee goes out? Right? You start walking with a gimp. Amen? What would happen if your liver said, I need to start living by myself? What if your liver said, I'm tired of living for the body? What if the liver said, I don't want to serve the body anymore? I want to take a year off and be fed. What if your liver said, hey, I've got to do what's best for me? What would happen? Your body would die. Your body would die. Can I tell you that today, thousands of churches are dying. They're dying because Christians refuse to serve. They sit on the sidelines like a spectator. Meanwhile, the body suffers. Friends, you are created, you're saved, and you were called to serve Almighty God. And if that's not enough to encourage you to serve, I want to tell you that you're utterly commanded to serve God. Amen. He tells you to. If you have any doubt about it, just read the book and you'll find that he tells you that you're to serve him. Jesus was very clear in our focus passage today. He basically says it this way. He says, your attitude should be like mine. For I, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, did not come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Friends, for the Christian, serving God is not an option. You can't say no. You've got to put your yes on the table. It's not an option. Christian service is not something that we tack on the end of our day if we have time. No, it's something that's pretty important. Think of it. No one serving God can do it outside of themselves, because serving God is the very heart of the Christian life. Jesus came to serve and to give. Can I tell you that those two words are perhaps the strongest words that should define your life as a Christian? Serving and giving are two of the greatest purposes of God for you as a Christian. How many of y'all remember the Catholic nun, Mother Teresa? Anybody remember her? For y'all that don't remember her, she was this broken, elderly lady
who served the poorest people in India. And Mother Teresa was quoted as saying that holy living consists of doing God's work with a smile. Holy living consists of doing God's work with a smile. You may not always feel like smiling, but you can, because of who's doing the work through you. Jesus taught us that spiritual maturity is never an end in itself. No, maturity is for ministry. Gaining knowledge is for serving. That's why we do it. Think of it. It's not enough to just keep learning and learning and learning. No, we got to act on what we know. We've got to practice what it is we claim to believe. And if you don't, then you don't believe it. It's been said that impression without expression leads to depression. And what that means is that all study without any action basically is total stagnation. That quote reminded me of the real comparison between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea over in Israel. The Sea of Galilee is full of life. And the reason for that is because it's got an inlet where water comes into the Sea of Galilee, but it also has an exit point where the water goes out of the Sea of Galilee. Conversely, the Dead Sea has got an inlet, but it doesn't have an exit. And so the Dead Sea is dead. It's totally stagnated. The water just sits there. It's not alive, and nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's the same thing with the Christian. The Spirit of God pours Himself into you as a believer. But if all you do is store up what the Spirit of God has given you, then you'll become stagnant, I promise you. You've got to have an outlet for all that the Spirit of God is doing in your life and for all that Jesus has already done in your life. See, most of the time, serving is so opposite of what we naturally want to do. Most times we're more interested in serve us than service. Amen. So what do we do? Well, you've heard many come to church saying the same thing. They come saying, you know what, Bill? I am looking for a church that meets my needs. I'm looking for a church where I can come and just see how God will bless me. But instead, we should be saying, I'm looking for a place to serve. I come here looking for a place to be a blessing. See, I believe as a mature Christian, the very focus of our lives should be and shifting more and more toward a life of sold out service. And it seems like for me personally, that if I don't do that, it seems like I'll always be less than. I'll never be doing what I've been created, saved, and called to do. So how about you? Which question are you asking? Are you saying, hey, who's going to meet my needs? Or are you saying, whose needs am I going to meet? Friend, listen, at the end of your life, at the end of your life here on earth, every one of us are going to stand before God, and God is going to evaluate just how well you served others with your life. I want you to think for a second how serious that is. One day, God is going to compare the time and the energy that I spent on myself compared with the time and effort and energy that I invested in serving others. And at that point, all of my excuses are going to sound hollow. Lord, I was just too busy. Lord, I had my own goals. I had my own schedule to keep. Lord, I was so preoccupied with work. I was so preoccupied with having fun. I was so preoccupied preparing for retirement. And to all those excuses, the Creator of every man, woman, and child is going to respond, sorry, wrong answer. I created you, I saved you, I called you, and I commanded you to live a life of service. What part of the assignment did you not understand? Jesus said, whoever desires to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his own life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Y'all, that was so important. That was such an important theme that it's repeated 5 times in the gospels. 5 times. Once would be enough, but 5 times? I think I better get it. It's so important. Friend, if you're not serving, can I tell you, you're just existing. You may be heaven bound and blood bought, but if you're not serving God with the life that He granted you, you're just existing. Why? Because the Christian life is meant for ministry. That's why you're still here. If He didn't want you serving Him and serving other people, why ain't you in heaven right now? You're not, because God expects you to serve Him here. God wants us, while we're here, to learn some things. He wants us to learn to love others, even the unlovable, even the cousin Eddies. Amen? He wants to teach us how to love others and how to serve others unselfishly. And y'all, I'm looking in the mirror of God's word right there, and I'm saying, wow, you're talking straight to my face. So can I make a bold statement here? You will live your life for something. Amen. You're living your life right now for something. What will it be from here on out? Are you going to live your life for your career? For a sport? Are you going to live your life, friend, for a hobby? Or for some perceived fame? Are you going to live your life for the pursuit of wealth that you're going to leave behind when your days on earth are through? Can I tell you, None of that will have any lasting significance. And not any one of those things will you take to heaven with you. Through ministry, through serving God, we discover the true meaning of our lives. And the true meaning of our lives is this, friend. If you don't miss anything, don't miss this. God wants to make a difference in this world, and He wants to do it through you. He wants to make a difference in this world, and He wants to do it through you. What are you saying to Him right now? Appreciate you wanting to do that, Lord, but nah. I'm good. Remember this. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen to this part. For good works. Not by. For good works. Right? That's why you're saved. For the good works which God prepared in heaven before time began. So serving God by serving others, for you, it's not an option. You don't have to leave here confused this morning. You don't have to leave here in doubt. I wonder what God was saying. You can walk out of here absolutely definitive, knowing what God wants you to do. You just have to find the avenue in which you're going to do it. Okay, God, I heard you. You told me to serve you. Now show me where and how you want me to serve you. Y'all, what's holding you back? Ultimately, we have to ask ourselves that hard question. I've been a Christian for X number of years. What's been holding me back? What's been holding me back from God's call to serve Him? Is it because you don't have a relationship with Him? Could it be because you don't fully understand that God created you, that He saved you, that He called you, and then He commanded you to serve Him while you're here? I promised you at the outset of this message that you were going to leave here knowing, understanding the assignment. That you would walk out of this building knowing what your mission is. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, your calling is to serve God with the rest of your life. It's not an option. Serving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's your assignment should you choose to accept it. So during this decision time, you got an opportunity to respond to what God has been speaking to you about. An opportunity to respond, to put your yes on the table. I ain't got over that, Brother Chris. To put my yes on the table. Lord, I'm going to serve you, not because of what you might do in heaven for me, but because of what you've already done for me by saving a wretch like me from the penalty of my sin. All I can do is live a life of thanks. For that, Lord, I'm serving you with everything I got. How about you? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this very, very clear-cut message, really. A message that says that serving you is not optional. Lord, a message that says we were created, called, saved, and commanded to serve you. And that if we don't do it, then we are living counter to the reason why we're created, counter to the reason why we were saved, counter to our calling, and being rebellious to your command. The way I see it, this altar ought to be full today. But I know there's one that's going to be there. And that's the one that's praying this prayer. Lord, I'm not satisfied. And I never will be satisfied with the level of service that I'm offering to you. You are so worthy. And I am so thankful. And Lord, I just want to live a life of service to you with all the days I have remaining. It may just be one. None of us know. It may be a year or two or five or ten. We don't know. But with the rest of our days, we're going to serve you. And we're going to glorify your son, Jesus. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't have a relationship with you, and therefore this message does not resonate with them, have them to know that they can place all their faith and trust in what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and they can have an eternal relationship with God, their Creator. It's as simple as that. And Lord, for the believer, already came, walked the aisle, professed their faith in Christ, got dunked in water, came to life groups, came on Wednesdays, but there's still that needle that's needling them in their side because they're not serving. Speak to them this morning. And Lord, help us all to fulfill that incredible calling that you have afforded us with. That calling to serve our Creator, to serve our Savior, and to know that we won't have to do it in our own power. You even provide all the power, all the ability, all the giftedness. You'll do it if we'll just put our yes on the table. But we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. Have your will and your way with every heart that's in the building. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand?